You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. Outdoor Edge knows that providing a freezer full of meat is part of the reason we all hunt. And what better way to bring it full circle than to process your own wild game? Outdoor Edge provides a full lineup of traditional and replaceable blade hunting knives and complete wild game processing kits to bring your wild game from the field to the freezer. Visit OutdoorEdge.com and at checkout, enter the discount code NATION30 for 30% off. Fully Loaded Chew is tobacco-free, long cut, and pouches that gives you the same pack, dip, spit, and buzz that you're used to without tobacco. Fully Loaded Chew comes in 9 flavors and is made with all food-grade ingredients and tobacco-free nicotine. To give us a try, head on over to fullyloadedchew.com for a $1 can of chew with free shipping when you enter the code OUTDOOR1, OUTDOOR, and the number 1. For more information on our product line, visit fullyloadedchew.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O2 Podcast. Tonight, Paul and I are here.
Paul, how you doing, man?
I'm good, man.
Good.
Good. It was Father's nice. Day. Yeah, good Father's Day weekend. Hung out with you and your family. Brought my kids over, my wife. Yeah, it was a good time.
It's always a good weekend when you get to hang out with me.
Yeah, that you're damn right. So
did a little fishing, frying.
That was
not
good.
Actually fishing. We just fried fish.
Yeah, but just fried store-bought fish. I did a little trout fishing over the weekend. Didn't catch a single trout. My buddy Brandon caught a couple, but I caught like, I don't know, 5 smallmouth, something like that. So yeah, it was good. It was a good holiday weekend. Good Father's Day weekend for me. So
that's good. I was working around the yard. A lot of painting, mowing, I don't know, other stuff like that.
Dad stuff. Family guy work.
And like kids' birthday parties. What else we do? I don't know, but
I had kind of a fun like Christmas in June week for me. In consecutive days, I got my Sirius arrows that I just bought. Those things are badass.
Wicked.
Yeah. And then I got my tethered system. The guy, like, I had my front door open because it was like real nice, wasn't hot or humid. I was on the couch watching, I don't know, some TV show with my daughters, and the guy's like, UPS, and I about fell out of the couch and was like running to the front door like, oh my god, it's here.
Paul sends me this text, FaceTime me now.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, what the hell's going on? And here he is up in the tree.
Yeah, damn right,
just hanging around. So
did you like it? Was it? Cool. I don't have a ton of good trees in my yard, so I used like the only acceptable tree, and I got like maybe 10 feet off the ground. But it was like there's the tree like wise off, this big maple tree, and I just couldn't get out. I couldn't get my tether set up in the right position to really lean back as best as I could. So, or you know, it was cool. I did enjoy it. The youngest member of the Purple Coat Mafia, she was all up in it, man. I mean, she was climbing up those sticks and jumping off the
platform,
and I would catch her. So it was cool, man. I enjoyed it. Now I just got to start shooting out of it. So.
Yeah, so we'll work on that. Like, I'm trying to think. One of the things I had to get used to is because you're on that platform, you really don't have a wide base. You shoot with your feet basically next to each other. Mm. So that's one thing you can start practicing. But, you know, just getting comfortable 2, 3, 4 feet off the ground, that's where you start, right? Yeah. You don't need to climb 20 feet up before you...
It was funny. My brother was watching me climb up in this tree and get on the platform. He's like, how do you shoot your bow out of this? I'm like... I have no idea. I don't know. I've never done it, so I'll figure it out and let you know.
We'll practice on that. So
yeah, it was cool, man. Good weekend.
Yeah,
good
so
fun weekend.
Thanks to our buddies over at Tethered for supporting us and helping out with the show. If you guys are interested in saddle hunting, now is the time to go get on there and pick up your kit. If you have saddle hunted in the past, congratulations. You've already made that huge step, but pull that stuff out, man. make sure everything's still in good shape and your ropes aren't frayed and everything's ready to go. Get your get comfortable again. We really don't have that much longer. We get July, August, September. We're like
almost 90 days. I mean, we're the home stretch, man.
It's under 100. So, it's got to be.
I mean, yeah, July 4th, like that. For me, like once July 4th hits, it is a boat race to hunting season. It goes so fast.
Yeah.
So it's going to be good.
Yep.
So big week for us. Got a great interview today. Dustin Huff, June 24th, Friday, this Friday. Crazy. Don't show up drunk. I'm not. You're not.
I'm not.
We're going to keep it together.
See, I was supposed to be in Oregon, and then that trip got canceled, and I was hoping I'd just like fly back and then drive back from the airport, and voila. But I'm here now, so.
No, it's going to be good. I'm happy.
We'll be.
Granville, Ohio, Granville Brewing Company. Meet and greet starts at 6. We're going to start the live show at 7 p.m. Kid-friendly. It is going to be outside. There's a fire pit there. It's really just good area to have this little show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So bring your wife, bring your kids.
Hide your kids, hide your wife.
Yeah, there you go. Good time. Good beer. Going to be fun.
Yes, it'll be good. And let's see. Go Wild, our other buddies there. We've got the Send It Slam coming up here on July 9th down in Louisville. That's going to be their big party. And we got two tickets to give away.
Two tickets.
So,
who's our guy?
Paul, let's pull up the magical Excel sheet here with all of our entrants. And random number generator.
22.
There it is. And it is?
J Rush. J Rush 25. Good for you.
There you go.
You'll get an email or smoke signal.
Yeah.
So
we'll touch base with you there. So congratulations. J Rush 25.
Yep. Better use them. Don't flake out on us, whoever you are. So
absolutely.
What else we got? That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that. Send It Slam. Tickets still available. 4-hour drive from Central Ohio. Going to be fun.
Yeah. And we've got the, we're going to have Justin Ross come on and tell us about the archery hike down there in the Hocking Hills. So that's the weekend after. He'll be on. We're going to have like a segment here after our intro.
Yeah, quick hitter.
So. Have him give you the feedback on that. But I'll tell you what, Paul, I was talking to Justin about his course, and he's like, oh, yeah, you know, it's real easy to shoot at something from 40 yards away on a flat surface with nothing in the way. But when you're trying to shoot at that mule deer that's hiding behind a tree at, you know, 45 yards uphill, I'm like, oh, boy.
Insane.
Not in Kansas anymore, Dorothy.
I'm going to lose every arrow I have, and I'm going to have to buy all new arrows. It's going to be miserable. I saw this. I saw a picture on Twitter of a tree with a V, and there's like an elk target behind it, and there was like 3 dozen arrows.
Just lying.
Just stuck in this tree. It had just been ripping through.
So this reminds me of golfing, kind of, and I have really bad luck when it comes to losing golf balls. And I hope it's not the same with arrows, because we got two of these back-to-back weekends. There's not enough.
Man. There's no time.
We can't rush arrows. Like, call up Seth at Sirius, be like, hey, rush those arrows now.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be cool.
So what else we got? Just some news from around the state. Did you see this thing? Oh, man, where is it? The budget numbers?
Yeah, the capital investment budget was introduced, I believe, for coming up for the next fiscal year, $515 million in the state of Ohio going to conservation efforts, infrastructure efforts within the Department of Natural Resources, Department of Wildlife, cabins, lodges, boat ramps, all of these different things. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. It says capital budget fiscal years 23 and 24.
Yeah. Okay. So that's two year capital. Okay.
So, and I'm not sure if this is officially passed or is this one of those things they're kind of like floating the idea out there or not. But either way, $515 million. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. I think I think once this is introduced, things can change. You know, obviously projects or whatever. But yeah, I think this is just, at this point, has been introduced. They've unveiled this capital budget, so that'd be pretty good. The RAWA, Recovering America's Wildlife Act, that cleared the House. That's a ton of money. I mean, billions, tens of billions of dollars.
That's federally. Oh, right.
Federal.
Okay.
Yep. Cleared the House. It had, it, ironically enough, it had a lot of support from both Democrats and Republicans. I didn't know that, that those guys could get along in Washington. I didn't know that, that was a possibility.
Midterms are coming, Paul. We have
exactly,
to figure out
yeah,
how
so
that
those
works,
assholes right? are just kissing and making up and playing along. So I saw in the Senate that there, in the Senate, there were 16 Democratic co-sponsors, 18 Republican co-sponsors, and one independent, which I'm assuming is Feel the Burn, was the one independent sponsor of the bill. Isn't he an independent, Bernie Sanders?
I don't know. Yeah, probably.
I think he is. I really don't know. Yeah. I don't pay attention too much to that. So that'll be a big, that'll be interesting. I'd like to see how that goes through. And you really hope when that much money is put towards or available for wildlife conservation programs around the state or around the country, that that money is used wisely.
Bingo.
You hear so many of these, oh yeah, we spend, you know, $14 trillion on poor help with poor people or welfare, people are still poor. Like, where's all the money go? You know, like, what are we doing? You know, we're rebuilding bridges. I haven't seen a single bridge rebuilt in Ohio in 10 years. So.
Right.
I don't know. Hopefully they use it well. So skeptical until proven otherwise. So
one of the other things I saw here was down at Houston Woods. Oh, come on. There it is. The new and improved Nature Center was unveiled at Houston Woods. Now, I've always had this debate on if something can be new and improved, but we're just going to roll with it today.
Yeah. It looks like a mini Bass Pro Shops.
Yeah. All kinds of cool stuff in there.
Yeah, it's cool.
But so that's another place that if you've never been out to Houston Woods, it's a nice little nature area there in Western Ohio. What else we got, Paul?
I don't think there's really anything fun to talk about. We had an awesome conversation this just a couple of days ago with Ohio native Zach Fehrenbaugh from the Hunting Public.
He's our
main guest for today. So good dude. We talk about it on the show. Like I had virtually given up on air quotes here for people not, you know, hunting media. I hated it. I didn't consume any hunting media, you know, up until, you know, for probably like 5 or 6 years. It just wasn't for me. It wasn't the type of hunting that I was doing. And these guys popped up in 18, and I heard about them. I think they started in 17, he said. 2018 was their first turkey tour. That was when I first started watching them, was in 2018 on that turkey tour, and I loved it. So,
yeah. And so I'm sure a lot of our listeners have heard Zach on other podcasts or very familiar with him. This was something we didn't want. I don't want to talk to him about in-season scouting or how to find buck beds or anything like that. Like, this is a pretty chill. I don't know if it's a BS session, but
we had some good questions.
Yeah, but he's just a dude from Western Ohio that got involved and started doing something. He's living his dream and, we just wanted to hear the story, so I thought it was pretty cool.
We learned a lot about Zach Fehrenbaugh, the person, in this episode, so really neat. Gracious with his time, talked to us for quite a bit. It was a lot of fun, man.
Yep. So
yeah, good dude.
Well, if that's all we got, I think we'll
give us
there.
Reviews. We haven't had a review on our Apple. I don't know how to check Android or Spotify, but Apple, May 4th was our last review. We need to give something away.
Yeah. We do.
What do we got? We got something to give away?
Not right this second.
No, I don't think we do. We're going to have to buy some stuff and give it away.
Yeah.
Bribe you suckers for reviews on our on our platforms and give you free shit.
I was thinking about it the other day. I was on one of Dan Matthews' podcasts and talking about how we came to be. And I was thinking, when we get to that 1 year point, we're going to have to find something good to give away. Which really isn't that far away either, so.
I know. This is episode 36. 36? 37. Episode 37.
Jesus.
Yeah. Man, it's happening quick. So.
Yeah. So, anywho, that's all we got for this week. I hope everybody is enjoying the heat and the weather here in Ohio. It won't be long before we are getting out in those woods.
Shooting little critters. Can't wait. Shooting Dustin critters, Huff, this Friday, June 24th. Granville, Ohio, Central Ohio, free beer, music. Best part?
The big deer?
No. Oh. I was going to say you and I, but.
Oh, of course.
No one gives a shit about us. It's that big ass deer. I can't wait. We saw it at the open season. That thing is a specimen. I mean, it is. Obviously, it's the biggest deer ever shot. Like, you just look at that and you're like, that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
It's crazy. So hope to see everybody out there. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye. All right, so we've got Mr. Justin Ross and from the Archery Hike. Justin, how are you today?
Good, good. Good to talk to you guys again.
Yeah, welcome back. Round two, man, for the show. So
there's only a few people special. That have been on. I've been on twice. Gage Hall, Tony Peterson, Justin Ross.
Yeah. Rarefied air, man.
Great.
You've made it. You've made it in life now.
Yeah. Number two, best number all.
All right, so we got Archery Hike coming up. We've been talking about it. So we're a little over a month out, a little under a month out. So it is crunch time, man. So Justin, tell us one, what Archery Hike is, two, why you started it, and three, what people can look forward to here coming up in a few weeks.
All right. Well, Archery Hike is kind of a culmination of a lot of things I've done in the past. As you guys know, and some of your listeners know, I run Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry around Central Ohio. And I've been doing that for 15 plus years, raising money for them, doing banquets with Whitetails Unlimited and so forth to raise a lot of money for conservation. I always used to shoot 3D archery, and I had an opportunity to create a 3D archery event, and that turned into Archery Hike. It's going to be, as you guys, appreciate you guys talking about it. It's going to be down in Logan here, July 15, 16, 17, throughout the weekend. And it's just going to be a fun 3D archery event. It's not your typical walk in the woods, as I say. It's going to be uphill and downhill and, traversing over creeks or through creeks and through valleys. And it's going to be a workout. It's our hope is to create this real life situation. These 24 targets that'll put you in that real life situation of making double long shots and really testing your abilities.
So you say it's the 15th, 16th, and 17th, but you don't have to come every day, right? This is something you can come one day, 2 days, 3 days.
That's correct. Yeah. I've got essentially, if you register on archeryhike.com, or you could get a hold of me at archeryhike@gmail.com to get registered. And you can register for 1 day, 2 day, or 3 days. I do have a handful of 2 day shooters right now. The course is essentially open all day for you. If you register, you get and shoot it as much as you want. Let's say Saturday, it's open from 8 to 5. We'll be open up, 7 o'clock, getting people through and, in to start shooting on the practice range. But yeah, you could shoot the course. I think it's a mile and a quarter, roughly, about 300 feet of elevation gain. So it is going to be a little bit of a workout. That's the hiking part. But I think you could probably get through it in a couple hours. My idea was I want people to have fun and be able to test their abilities. And that means go through it a couple times. So once you're registered, hike it. If you want to run to Logan and eat, it's 3 miles away. You can go eat if you want. I'll have snacks and some refreshments there. But if you want to go get a meal in Logan, then come right back and, spend the whole day there if you want, and just shoot. You don't have to come both days or all 3 days.
What should somebody plan on bringing? And what I mean is, how many arrows do we need to bring in case we start losing them?
There's 24 targets. So you tell me, there's not going to be any chip shots. That is a question.
Oh, come on. Give me one.
They people ask, how far are these shots going to be? And I think right now the max shot is probably going to be a full body elk about 75 yards uphill. It's not going to be an easy shot, but it's also a full body elk. So you should be able to take out an elk's lungs at 75 yards.
Don't overestimate my abilities, Justin.
The shortest shot's probably going to be in that 30-35 range, and it'll be a standing turkey. So it'll be a smaller target. Again, But the whole idea is to have fun. I want you to test your abilities. But if you don't feel comfortable with the shot, just move up closer and shoot what you're comfortable for. If that 75-yard shot uphill is too far, walk up the hill and shoot it at 20. I don't care.
Just move, want you move to up to the ladies' tee, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice golf reference there. So you got a bow raffle. What's that? What's going on with that?
Yeah, each everybody that registers is automatically in the drawing for a brand new Matthews V3. I got it sitting actually right here behind me in the office, and that's part of your registration, as well as you get an Archery Hike, piece of merchandise. It'll come with that registration as well. I think that provides a pretty good value for people to come out and, you know, just enjoy Hocking Hills anyways, because it's beautiful country, but obviously getting some exercise, flinging some arrows, and have a chance at winning a brand new V3.
Can you buy more raffle tickets, or is it just one entry with?
For the bow, it'll be one entry.
Okay.
You'll get one entry with your registration, but we will have the practice range with some bag targets that Whitetails Unlimited is going to be running. And they'll be selling raffle tickets, probably have a couple different styles of shots where you could get extra raffle tickets. We've got a fair amount of stuff to raffle off. So that'll be happening on the practice range, as well on the practice range with the bag targets. If, you know, people want to shoot tic-tac-toe or whatever, play, you know, tic-tac-toe with arrows or whatever, they can do that. But yeah, we'll have additional raffles for Whitetails Unlimited at the practice range.
I don't know if you said it, but what does it cost to register?
$50.
Per day?
Yep, per day. If you're a two-day shooter, it's actually $90. So you save $10 as a two-day shooter.
Gotcha. And so is it a family event? Like if I was to bring my wife and kids, is there something for them to do while I'm doing the thing? Or is that something like I send them to Logan to find something to do?
They could go with you. I've actually had probably 10 different people contact me and ask me about, hey, could our kids come along, or wives that, you know, girlfriends, they don't shoot, but they want to come along and get some exercise, and heck yeah. Yeah. Bring them along. They can enjoy just being out hiking the hills. Get their heart pumping a little bit too, when their husband or boyfriend gets mad because he can't make that shot, you know?
good deal. So
we're going to lose so many arrows, Paul. So,
I know. It's going to be – I'm actually in my – I'm thinking in my mind – I just bought a bunch of, like, serious arrows, and they're kind of expensive, and I don't want to lose them in your woods.
I feel like I need to put another order in they're ready.
Screw that. I'm going to go out and buy the cheapest.
So excited for one shot. Because, like I said, I want to put – all these targets will be real-life situations. We got an electrical cut. It's going to, you know, have an animal up in electrical cut. And then these deep valleys that are kind of, they're not really muddy, they're kind of dry now, but, you know, just where you'd find hogs, you know, down in these valleys, you know, in the mud. And it's going to be really fun.
Oh man, I can't wait.
Do we need to bring rangefinder, or is that,
yeah,
you have
absolutely
them marked up?
I would. Guys have asked us again, binoculars, rangefinders, whatever you feel comfortable that you would take in a real life hunting situation, I would bring with you. If that's a backpack, if it's, you know, good footwear, you're going to want good footwear because you're going to be hiking up and down hills. You know, you don't want to hurt your rolling ankle or something. So yeah, but yes, binoculars, rangefinders will help for sure.
Can Paul bring his saddle and get situated in a tree prior to each shot?
The answer is 100% yes. I'm gonna go ahead and answer that for you. It'll take me 6 hours to get up.
But man, you will have that thing down. You will be ready to go.
No kidding. Justin, where can people find you?
Go to archeryhike.com, or you can email me at archeryhike@gmail.com, and I'll get right back to you. Get with me on Facebook, Archery Hike, Instagram, Archery Hike as well. I get back to everybody as fast as I can. So we hope to see everybody out there.
It's going
to
be a fun event. We did miss one very important piece of this and kind of why you're doing the archery hike. You're making contributions to two organizations. What are those organizations?
Yeah, like I mentioned, at the practice range, Whitetails Unlimited will be doing raffles there, raising money for giveaways. And then there'll be a donation going back to Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry after the event, with part of the proceeds from the event, which I should tell you too, I know we had talked prior, but to give you those updated totals for the end of the year, for 2021 into 22, statewide for farmers and hunters feeding the hungry. We're actually finishing our fiscal year right now, but it's looking about 68,500 pounds of donated meat.
That's incredible.
Last season. And so that's a lot. But to think of it in meals, it's roughly 274,000 meals in one year from all of us hunters.
Man, so that's wild.
It's awesome. Everybody donating. We love you. It's you're feeding a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that website, what is that? What's the website for Farmers and Hunters Feeding the Hungry?
That is fhfh.org.
There you go. Good deal.
You can get on there, find butchers in your area, chapter coordinators, all the contact information, and you know, or email us and we'll get you, you know, any answers you need.
Awesome. Justin, thanks for coming on, man. Thanks for putting this event on. I can't wait to get down there on Friday. What time does it start on Fridays? It started at 8 a.m. on Friday?
10 to 6 on Friday.
10 to 6.
People will be working. We'll have it open. People will be registering probably 9, shooting, you know, on the practice range. But yeah, 10 to 6, the course will be open. And like I said, with your registration, it's all yours for the whole time that it's open for the day. Come and go as you please.
Awesome. Justin, thanks for your time, man.
Yep. Thank you,
appreciate
guys.
It. Take care.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the O2 Podcast. Tonight, we have a very special guest, Pride of Ohio. Probably, I'm not going to lie, next to Neil Armstrong, the biggest name to come out of Wapakoneta. So we've got Zach Fehrenbaum from The Hunting Public. Welcome, Zach. How are you tonight?
Doing great. Thank you. How are you guys?
Doing good, man.
Living the dream. It's we got that kind of lull, as we talked about the other day, of whatever, June, kind of getting geared up for some archery shoots, and then obviously deer season coming in the fall.
It's been in the 90s 2 days in a row, which I am not happy about. So
nasty here. So, yeah. Well, Zach, you know, I think most people, if they're not familiar with you, do you want to give a brief introduction or just start nailing you with questions here?
Yeah, I'll do a brief introduction. I'm Zach Fehrenbaum from Wapakoneta, Ohio. I guess part of The Hunting Public, we started making YouTube videos in 2017 and really just like traveling around. I mean, the short version is just really like traveling around, hunting new areas, hunting public land, and making videos about it, having fun.
Yeah.
Hunting's my favorite thing to do. Yeah.
So
that's my intro.
that works for me. So I have to ask, like, how did The Hunting Public just become? I mean, was it? I mean, you and Aaron, obviously, like, you guys worked at what was it, Midwest Whitetails or something like that. So yep. How did you and Aaron and Greg and just kind of that original core of THP? How did you guys meet each other?
So when we worked at Midwest Whitetail, there was Midwest Whitetail office, and we were working for Bill Winky, and there was like just a group of guys always working in that office together, and we were always hunting together. You know, when we had the time, we all got time to hunt at Midwest Whitetail, and we got to like film each other. We did a lot of editing there, so we'd sit like long hours, like trying to edit as much as we could at night, trying to get ahead so that way we could go hunting. And you know, Bill always let us go together and create our own content too. So we started doing public land videos, and I guess Aaron started doing public land videos like 2012 probably. And then I came along in 2015 as an intern and just really enjoyed that atmosphere. Like, it was kind of the dream situation for me. I'd always been really into editing hunts and hunting with my buddies and just meshed well with those guys. And we were just having a blast. So I basically just pestered Bill until he gave me a full-time job there. Once I got done with my internship, I went home for a couple months and came up with like several different ideas to kind of create my own position there, and just kept proposing these ideas to Bill. And finally he gave in and gave me a job. And you know, we worked together, but all those guys in the office, and we continued doing that public land thing, and it just kept becoming more and more, I guess, we felt like there was just an opportunity there where nobody was, I shouldn't say nobody, there wasn't very many people hunting public land that was kind of, and just trying to relate to as many people as possible, right? If you can, if you're hunting public land, you're hunting land that anybody can hunt. So we just tried to relate, I guess, and then eventually just decided we were going to do it ourselves and just wanted to do YouTube and started doing YouTube. And we had no idea if it was going to work or not. I think originally we had talked about like how we were going to film weddings and stuff during the summer to make enough money to keep going hunting. And it ended up just really working out that it kind of took off. And I mean, forever thankful for the opportunity at Midwest Whitetail, because that's kind of how we got a little bit of a jump start. You know, we were making videos, public land videos there. And then when we went to YouTube, a lot of people just kind of followed it from there straight to YouTube. And that's how we kind of got a jump. So, you know, Midwest Whitetail is what brought us all together. And you'll hear us talk about a lot of friends too, that we also have through Midwest Whitetail, like Eric Barber, John Lewis, who else? Sam Soholt, Lake Pickle. Like, those are all guys that are in the industry, and there's tons more. There's tons more, really. It was really awesome how that brought so many people together, and that's how it got started. Because we're all from different parts of the country. Like, I'm from Ohio, Jake's from Wisconsin, Aaron's from Missouri, Greg's from Nebraska, Ted's from Iowa. That's kind of how that all came together.
So you guys definitely hit that niche, right, with the public land thing. I mean, you were hunting public before it was cool, right? And now, yeah. You know, that's what everybody's – their goal is to get out there and do what you guys do. I shouldn't say everybody. There's a lot of people. But coming from Wapakoneta, I'm pretty familiar with that area, and there's not a lot of public land up there, right? And it's a lot of agriculture and you know, to – for me, when I'm driving around, if I see a deer up there, that's a big deal. So before you got to the Midwest whitetail stuff, did you grow up in a hunting family? Is this, did you have good access to land up there? Or is it something you just kind of went with?
I'll tell you my whole situation. So when I was real, real little, like before I even remember, I was interested in hunting and was showing interest in hunting. Like, my mom has these pictures of me holding up curling iron like a gun, and I'm like tiny, you know, I'm super young. And I remember my dad coming back from bow hunting, he'd be super excited about hearing the stories, and you know, I can still like replay those stories that he told me, you know, even if it's been, I mean, I'm sure there's some stories that I remember that he hadn't told me for 20 years, you know, and it's just like I remember the details of it because I was so interested in it. Both of my grandpas hunted as well. They were big influences. I started shooting 5 years old and started going squirrel hunting with my grandpa on my mom's side. And we started squirrel hunting, shooting. Then we started going turkey hunting. Then we started going deer hunting. And the first, I don't know how many years, really, three or so years, I didn't shoot anything. I just missed a lot of things. And what I was doing was I was always going back. So I grew up in Western Ohio, but I told you guys before we started, my grandparents live in Eastern or Central Ohio. So I'd always kind of travel anyway, every week. My grandpa's got 160 acres there. And then just anything else that we could hunt, you know, just like some occasionally a small property here and there. I started hunting on a place that my grandparents at the time were renting in a house. And when they rented that house, the guy that owned the property behind him let us hunt. So that's where some of my first hunts, like squirrel, deer, turkey, were. And then when I was 9, I shot a deer finally after, again, missing several times. And then shot a turkey when I was 10. And then we lost permission to hunt that spot that we had where my grandpa was renting. He moved away from there. They moved. I didn't have permission to hunt there. So when I was like 11, we started hunting public land. And we would just travel, especially during turkey season, like 100% during turkey season. Because back in Western Ohio, we just didn't have permission anywhere where there were turkeys. And in most of the county, there just weren't, in surrounding counties. It's just, I mean, not a lot of turkeys over there. So we would travel, hunt public land. And from the time I was 11 until, you know, now, I have always hunted public land for turkey. And then a lot of times during the weekends when I was growing up, we would go hunt over by my grandpa's property, like throughout middle school, high school, bow hunting there. So then I went to college and I went and was able to hunt a whole bunch more public land, both deer and turkey. I could all of a sudden turkey hunt like way more than I ever have been able to. When I was in college, I managed, I don't know how I pulled this off, but I managed to get real average grades, but got a ton of hunting and fishing in. And I would like schedule classes so that a couple days of the week, I'd have to start class at like 10, like that's as much as I could push it, but I could still hunt at least till 9, you know, get a good morning hunt in 9-ish, 9:30, and I'd bust it back. And I'd then also, I guess, I think it was at one point that was Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I had till 10. And then the other 2 days, I didn't start till like 12:30. So I could hunt the entire morning. So I just went from, only being able to turkey hunt a couple of days on the weekends throughout the season to all of a sudden I'm going basically the whole season. And that was really cool. I really value that time a lot.
Did you go to school for like the digital whatever and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, well, I kind of went to school to drink beer for a while, and I didn't really know what I was doing, honestly. I told people all the time, like, all I want to do is edit hunting, you know, go hunting and edit a YouTube video. I mean, that's no kidding what I wanted to do, and I didn't know how to do it. You know, there's no major that says, like,
kill deer and then film it and edit
it. Yeah,
so when your dad's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And you're like, I want to shoot deer and film it and edit hunting.
Yeah, I want to make
YouTube. Just like, was he like, oh my God, he's going to live with us his entire life?
No, you know, it is weird because there was a time where apparently my dad said he got a call from my guidance counselor when I was in high school. And it was like, hey, like, you know, you should talk to Zach about like picking a realistic career because he's talking about wanting to do this. It's funny when you hear him tell the story, you know, but basically she said, like, he's got to get serious about picking a career and he can't just, like, want to make, you know, hunting shows or whatever. Whatever it was, I was calling it at that point. Make hunting shows.
Right. Did you go to college in Ohio?
Yeah, I went to Ohio University.
Oh, so you were right down there in Wayne National, and you had all the land around you, right?
I all of a sudden it went from no public land to living in the dream world. Like, I could run out and hunt deer in 10 minutes. I could be, you know, I mean, just all over the place, and turkey too. And it was so fun to explore that stuff. And at the time, I didn't have I didn't have phone maps. I didn't have a smartphone until I graduated college, which was 2015. So I didn't have like a phone map. I was just out there running wild, like, you know, looking at Google Earth like crazy when I was in my dorm or at home. And I did go to school, to answer your question earlier. I went to school for like media, outdoor recreation, and geography. And how that works is I combined those three majors and officially a Bachelor of Specialized Studies with areas of focus in media, outdoor rec, and geography.
YouTuber sounds easier, right?
Right? it's what they called make your own major, build your own major.
So true story, I spent 2 years in Athens, and I have a very special place in my heart. For those 2 years were wonderful. I don't remember all of it, but
well, I unfortunately don't remember a lot of it. But
What is it? The burrito buggy? Is that the staple down there?
Yeah, I mean,
Court
Big Mama
Street.
Yeah. That I went to all the time. I was at Big Mama's all the time. Oh. You know, start drinking some beers, and then late at night, go get your burrito. Oh,
done deal. Good. Wake up the next morning, go hunt some turkeys.
You know what?
Fishing, too. Sorry to cut you off. I loved fishing down there. I mean, there are so many good fishing opportunities. And honestly, in college, I spent as much time fishing, probably in the grand scheme of it, as much or more time fishing for smallmouth and bass in general as I did hunt. I mean, I hunted a ton still, but like I had a lull of deer hunting when I was in college too. So that's kind of an interesting little story, I would say. But did you have a question?
You can tell that interesting story if you want. I'm all ears.
My question wasn't a question as much as I had as the same time I was at OU, I had a buddy over at Hocking, right? It's just down the road over in Nelsonville. And at that point in my life, I hadn't been exposed to turkey hunting, just getting into deer hunting, that kind of stuff. So I didn't take advantage of Athens on that end like you did. I'll never forget the story. I remember he called me the one day and said that somebody on his floor had just gotten thrown out of school for shooting at a turkey out of the dorm room at Hocking. So, and that was 20 some years ago, but nowadays that would probably be a whole nother issue. But
if there was any place it was going to happen, though, it'd be at Hocking, you know. But, well, I used to go up to Hocking a lot and hang out there. So I had one of my best friends, Brad. He's my friend from high school. He went up to Hocking, and we were 15 minutes apart. We hunted together a ton, and we still do hunt together when I go back to Ohio. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time up there. Also drinking beer up there.
So I want to know why the law of deer hunting in college?
So it kind of got to a point where I was hunting. So I was hunting more public land, but I was also just watching too much hunting media.
Yeah.
This is honestly one of the main reasons that I feel like we became as a group interested in doing what we're doing, become more relatable, because we were watching hunting media at the time. All of us at one point or another kind of went through somewhat of a similar lull to this, all of us at PHP. But for me in college, me and my friend Ben, who he's also a friend of mine that lives in Ohio.
They've been on the show. They've been on the YouTube shows.
Ben and Keith and Alex, three brothers that I've been friends with. They're my oldest friends. I've been friends with them since my dad and their dad are like best friends from high school. Anyway, Ben and I were hunting a lot together, and we were just watching so much hunting media that was making us chase the big buck. And like, I remember passing bucks on public land that we shouldn't have been passing. And we were hunting at my grandpa's property a lot and playing everything super safe, like, you know, hunting the edge, hunting the fringe, like not trying to get too nosy and get in the bedding area, like sit back was kind of the approach. And I felt like a lot of media was telling you that, you know, you're watching, like at the time, Midwest Whitetail, Growing Deer, anything on the Outdoor Channel is all just like food plots and sit back and play it safe. And like for probably about 3 years, we did that. And it got to a point where I remember having a serious conversation with Ben in the tree stand, like, should we just stop doing this? Like, I'm sick of deer hunting because like this isn't fun anymore. And kind of like started deciding like I'm gonna just have to change it up and have to start doing, you know, something, because I don't like it as much as I should. And on the other hand, I'm liking turkey hunting like crazy. Just more and more and more. It's like I'm so in love with turkey hunting, and I can't figure out why. I mean, this is a whole progression to get to now, but I always just like turkey hunting way better. Anyway. And fishing, honestly, is getting definitely to a point where fishing was more fun. I was still spending a lot of time deer hunting, but fishing was more fun. And ended up then moving to Iowa because I got an internship with Midwest Whitetail. And I remember going out there and thinking, like, I'm never going to, and this is held true. I'm never hunting private land again. I'm hunting public land for the rest of my life for deer and turkey, because I don't know if that, you know, maybe when I'm older, I'll hunt more private land. I don't know. I shouldn't say never, but like, I want to be done with it. And started working there, started hunting public land, started getting more out of it, more of the adventure that I really was seeking. Not just, you know, always finding these, like, just, you know, just trying to find stuff that wasn't the most obvious stuff, you know what I mean? And not, also not worrying about shooting a huge buck either. Like, just decided, like, you know, everything about how I approach this is going to change. I started hunting with Aaron and then just started learning a lot from what he had been doing and what he had been learning, and just, man, I mean, really, really started to fall back in love with deer hunting again, to the point where, like, I eventually got to the point, I guess, where I started hunting on the ground, and then that really took it a whole other level further of, like, now I think of deer and turkey hunting as equal, where in the past I thought that turkey hunting was way better than deer hunting. I still love them both a ton. More than anything, I couldn't compare them. I couldn't pick one. You add pronghorn and elk in the mix, and I couldn't pick one, but I love hunting in general. Big game stuff, you know, at least.
So
I feel like that was the law, and that's how I got it in a quick form.
So when you're at Midwest Whitetail and you know, something just clicks, you're like, I'm never hunting private property again. Was it because, like, you were just you thought that it was too easy?
No.
Or you just thought that, like, it's not me, man. It's not what speaks to me. Like, was it a very personal decision, or was there, you know, outside influence, you know, the Outdoor Channel and all these things that just had kind of turned you off in general? Or are you just like, this is what I am. I like the challenge. I like to roam.
That's a great question. It wasn't that private land was too easy. I was struggling big time on private land because I was trying to do what I was seeing on TV on small property that I didn't have full control of. Like, my grandpa still had control of it from the standpoint of, like how certain things were, how they are managed, and, you know, it was And we started getting into the food plot thing, and it just became this such a passive form of hunting. And really, that's also what my grandpa likes. My grandpa likes to sit and watch deer. So I kind of started to follow that influence as well, but was taking it a step further too, because I'm watching this on every media source that I'm watching. It's just like YouTube videos, or, you know, whatever you can find online at the time, of just guys shooting these gigantic bucks off a food plot, sitting on 10 times that year and seeing, you know, a dozen plus deer every time. And it's just like, I'm trying to do that, and it's just going backwards, and I'm just like not doing anything productive. Now, on the side, what's really interesting, though, that's all, like, personal stuff, too. Like, that's all me and Ben hunting, but I'm also doing a bunch of other stuff throughout all this, where I'm hunting, like, back home around Wapakoneta with my buddies, and a lot of times then I'm filming, so we're getting, like, way more aggressive doing that stuff. But every time I kind of go back over to my grandpa's, I just kind of keep getting it dumbed down to not having as much fun, and I just keep choosing to, you know, not hunt aggressively. And I realized that was what was happening, you know. I just realized that I was playing everything super safe, and I was just bored. I was just bored as hell. I didn't want to stare anymore and not see, you know, not have action. And then, you know, we started hunting public land, and we just added adventure to it. Like, I was seeing something different. It was exciting. I was learning more stuff, where I had just got to a point where I'd been, you know, hunting other areas too. I'm certainly not exclusively hunting my grandpa's, but I was hunting it the most, you know. And it just, I guess that's where I got. It was, and that's 280 acre blocks. That's what I was hunting on my grandpa's property. But then, yeah, it, I mean, really started to take off when I started hunting public land. And I really, man, at this point, I just don't have any interest in going back to being confined. I don't like to be too confined, even on public land. If the pieces are too small, it's like, you know, it's hard for me.
So when you guys are all down at Midwest Whitetail, and in the back of your mind, you guys all have the same idea that, you know, this is an underserved kind of segment of the hunting entertainment, hunting industry. Who was the first one that like approached the subject? Like, who was the first one's like, "Man, I've had enough. This is all I'm doing." Was it you, or was it one of the other guys, or was it just kind of like you just sitting around one day and you're like, "You know what? This is the direction I think I want to go." How did that come about?
That's just a long evolution of it. You know, we started hunting together 2015, the three of us. Now, again, Aaron had been doing this for a while, and Greg started getting into the public land too. And then I feel like when I came along, and Michael Parente was also an intern, and we still there?
Yeah, sorry. I one of our internets fuzzed out, so we'll have to. I heard Michael, and then that was it. You started cutting out. So
okay. So Michael Parente and I, we started doing everything with Warb in 2015. Like, that's most of when we were interns, and that was hunting the public land and filming that whole kind of series. And then 2017, Warb and I started going turkey hunting on the road. Like, we started traveling. We went to Mississippi, we went to Arkansas, Missouri, Wyoming, and then we hunted Iowa as well. So we started kind of getting into that public land, going to these new areas, and all of a sudden it's like, dude, this is what I want to do. Like, we got to find a way to do this. And we just kind of continued to talk about it. But then, you know, it just kind of got to a point where it was like, we're going to have to make some sort of change. A lot of our friends had left and kind of like took different routes. Because at one point there was a lot of people working at Midwest Whitetail. You know, there would be like 10 people in the office between interns and full-time employees. And then all of a sudden it's like, there's only a few full-time employees left, me, Aaron, and Greg. And it was just like, man, like, you know, at some point, you know, we should just, if we're going to do it, we should just try it. We just did it. And like I said, didn't have it. I felt like there was always a place there personally, like where it should be successful if we work hard at it. But, you know, it's always a risk, and we risked it. And luckily, you know, people wanted to see something that was more relatable. We try to forever be as relatable as possible. That's like, for sure, my number one goal is I just don't want people to, I guess, think that, you know, we're just trying to get views or clicks or whatever. It's like, that's why we like to travel, man. That's our favorite thing. Now, there's always places that you like to go and, you know, go hunt. You know, different areas. Like, I really enjoy hunting like the Midwest, you know, the open country in the Midwest. That's new to me, so it's super fun. I love spotting and stalking, but I also love going back into solid timber and just hunting, you know, back in the East, Appalachian Mountains and stuff like that. That's all super fun to me. And, you know, I don't know even really where I'm going at this point. I'm kind of rambling now.
So, no, keep it. So how do you, like, just... I mean, you guys are as big as they get in this hunting, and I don't even know what to call it, industry, entertainment. But I mean, you guys, and I'm just going to give you just kind of like a little, like, just kind of a snapshot of where I was. I started hunting in 2007, 2008, 2009, somewhere in that time frame. I've hunted public land ever since that time. And it's not because I'm some righteous public land warrior, but it's just because I don't have access, and I've always had a hang up about asking people for access on their property. So if I've hunted 1,000 times, I've hunted twice, 3 times on private property, you know? So it's very kind of a special thing for me, you know, when I do get to do it. And, you know, I would watch those TV shows on Outdoor Channel and Sportsman's Channel or Network, whatever the hell it was called. And I would watch these guys, and I'm not bashing anyone, but, you know, I'd watch Lee and Tiffany, and I'd watch the Drurys, and I'd watch all these shows. And then I would go to my public land spot in Benton County, Ohio, and I'm like, well, this isn't Iowa. I can't find a food plot anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just so I just stopped consuming that stuff. I mean, it wrecked me on hunting. You know, I think so many people went through that same thing.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, it's just as hunters, we don't have, a lot of us don't have the time, the money, the resources, the drive to go out and put in the effort that it takes to grow these massive deer and to own these huge pieces of property. And it just really kind of soured me on hunting for a lot of years. And it was funny, man. I was just talking to a buddy of mine, and he was telling me about you guys. I think it was your first turkey tour. So what was that, 18? 2018?
Yep.
First turkey tour. And he's like, oh yeah, no, it's the guy from Spring Thunder and some guy with long hair. You should check it out. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. Like, all they do is hunt public. Yeah, I can. And I watched it, and then you guys didn't kill anything. I'm like, I know this. I know this feeling, not killing anything. I just walk 14 miles, you know, up and downhill. So you guys kind of brought me back into that fold, man. I started to believe a little bit in the hunting entertainment industry. And, you know, I started to feel like, you know, it's okay to not pound 180-inch deer every year and kill double bearded turkeys every time you go out in this beautiful pasture, you know. So you guys, like, really, you know, you may be a better turkey hunter, man. So I do appreciate that. But so you've kind of gone through like this second or third or fourth, I don't know what evolution for you, but, you know, maybe turkeys weren't as important to you, and like your priorities started to shift to, you know, elk or antelope. So like, where are you at now? Like, in that evolution, where have you gone?
I would say, I mean, I guess I feel like I should first start by talking about the ground interest, because that's really unique, I think, and just in kind of the motivation for that, I suppose, is like, when I finally found the videos for me, if you will, was when I found Whitetail Adrenaline. I started watching DVDs at Eric Barber's house when I was working at Midwest Whitetail in like 2015. And I was like, dude, this is it. Like, this is insane. And I had heard about it briefly from some friends, but I never actually spent the money on it. I was spending all my money on, you know, going hunting or beer or whatever. and all of a sudden I'm watching this Whitetail Adrenaline, and I'm like, this is awesome. And they're doing all this ground stuff, and I start trying to figure out, like, how they're actually doing this. Like, how, like, you know, up to this point, I've only stationary hunted deer. I've never still hunted. I've never stalked. And it's like, how are they even doing this at all? And I kind of just got to a point where it's like, the only way to start to learn is just start trying. So in 2016, I started hunting on the ground a little bit, and that was still at Midwest Whitetail and with a ghillie suit, and was pretty stationary still. And then 2017 came along, and 2016, then I guess I ended up just kind of going back to my old ways when I started having time to hunt during the rut. Bill, I was filming Bill that season, like the whole season until he tagged out. And then he tagged out, and I got to go with Aaron a whole bunch, and Aaron had tagged out too. So I was able to get with him, me, and occasionally I was hunting with some of the interns as well. And ended up shooting a buck out of a tree stand in 2016 with my buddy Corey, who was an intern, and kind of just went back to the old comfortable ways, you know. But by the end of 2016, I was burnt on it. Like, I hated it. I was carrying that damn muddy tree stand with the sticks, and like, honestly, we did that, and a lot of our group did that all the way up until, I don't know, whenever we started using saddles. But dude, I did not like that. Carrying those sedans was so brutal to me. And then it just wear you out, then you'd sit all day, and that gets boring mentally. Like, it just drains you. And then you carry all that crap back out, and then you go back and do it the next day, day in and day out. The end of 2016, I was burnt with tree stands. So going into 2017, I was like, I really want to take this way more seriously. And I still use tree stands a little bit more, you know, a little bit that year. And then ended up killing a buck off the ground with Jake, which is, he's this one right here.
Oh, nice. And that's good deer.
That was 2017. And that was the first one, like, kind of got the ball rolling. It was like, okay, we can do this. We can kill deer off the ground. And went to Nebraska the next year, got one, like, spotted embedded, and docked him, and like,
with your bow, right? Just
yeah, 19 yards. Like, I'll never forget. I mean, this is the first, that's the first, what I call, kill stalk I ever, where I straight up spotted the buck in the bed, and just crawled right in there to him and got him as soon as he stood up. And, like, changed like a lot for me, because all of a sudden it's like, dude, this is it. This bring, like, it brings out some intensity too that I've been missing, I guess, to a certain degree. Like, you know, in stalking deer and the intensity and the physical, like, aspect of it, we have to be super focused and you have to be tough. You got to be mentally tough. I don't, you know, you're going to get a cactus in your hand. You're going to, you know, get your knees on rocks and it's going to hurt like hell. But, like, if you mess up one tiny little bit, like, it's over. So you can't mess up. You just got to mentally stay in the game. And I mean, anybody can stalk. They're mentally tough, in my opinion. But being, you know, being in good shape helps. So I guess why it changed my life is I feel like it just made me super motivated to continue to get in better shape and just, you know, continue to be an active deer hunter. And after 2018, I think I've honestly only ever been in a tree a handful of times. And most of those times is when I'm filming. Like, I really don't, I have, for the last two seasons, I haven't hunted out of a tree at all personally. Like, when I'm the one with the tag and the bow, I haven't done it at all. And that's everywhere. Like, it doesn't matter where I'm into that. It makes it fun. And honestly, it's not for everybody. I don't think that everybody really would want to do that. But for me, I want to do that. It's so fun. And I also love, if I got to be completely honest, I love when people say, you can't do that. Like, you can't do that here. It's like, all right, I'm going to try my ass off now that you said that. Like, I'm really going to try, because I don't believe that. I don't believe that you can't do anything. And I also kind of, I guess, let's put it this way, it still fell into the same deal kind of as what I was seeing when I was in college, is everything was still that you have to hunt deer out of a tree stand. Why? Like, who made that rule, you know? And it fires me up really to this day, because it's like, for a while, I felt like I really had to kind of push back on that and just, like, ignore what people were saying, because I know I fired some people up the other way, where they're like, well, you can't do, like, you're not allowed. You don't, you're going to ruin it. You're going to ruin public land. And, like, while I obviously don't believe that's true at all, it's just, yeah, it's just really what works for me. It's super fun. I do like the challenge of that. And there's so many pros and cons. I mean, I could talk about hunting on the ground for so long, but that kind of really got me interested in it. And then I started elk hunting and pronghorn hunting. And elk hunting, I mean, honestly, elk hunting's the best. Like, that's where it's at.
So many people say that. I love turkey hunting. That's my favorite. And everyone's like, oh, well, you've never hunted elk.
Yeah. And I mean, I shouldn't say that I really like anything more than the other, because at the end of the day, it really would be super hard for me to pick. I'd have to really think on it. I don't know. And luckily, I should never have to. But you know, elk is super fun because it's a whole new level of like physical that, you know, you can, you gotta be in damn good shape to hunt elk at your best, I guess. Like, it certainly helps to be in good shape. And that's a fun challenge to me. Like, I'm working for that, you know, to be as good as I can be. I'm not trying, you know, it's just like, and when you go out there with your team elk hunting, that's super fun because it's like, you better make sure you got yourself in shape over the off season, cause you got to pull your weight. And like, we've had some awesome teams out elk hunting. It's unbelievably fun. And that part to me is also really fun. And then pronghorn too, I guess. Pronghorn is like the ultimate stalk test. Like, if you could stalk a pronghorn with a bow, like, I don't, like, to me, that's been easily the most challenging thing that I've done in hunting. Like, they are good, man. And like, if you're not on perfect point, like, they're gonna make you look real stupid a lot of times. You know.
So you're telling me if I can't sneak up on the groundhog in my yard, I probably should not worry about the antelope? Like, hold off on those?
No, you're seriously, I feel like it's like this with pronghorn. You're like, let's say like the bottom of my screen is the terrain feature that you're using as cover. It's like with a pronghorn, I would say you just barely get your hat.
He's gone. You can see the tip of his hat.
Yeah, you can see the button, you know. And they're just like, well, who's over there?
Oh, God, that's funny. Zach, I'll tell you something you can't do. You can't take me hunting next spring when you're in Ohio, okay? Can't do it. I'm kidding. So like, you derail the conversation there. I don't even know what to say to that. So Warb and Ted, I love Ted. I mean, I've never seen, you know, never met him.
It's kind of weird.
I just love his personality, man. Like the he just seems like super quiet all the time. And he just goes out and you'd be like, Ted, I'm going to give you this doll kitchen knife and I want you to kill this black bear. And he'd be like, oh, okay. and he just, I love all the personalities that like have kind of come together. So, I mean, so when you guys are on like turkey tour or your deer tour and you're out, you're just in these 4-person tents traveling in cars together. Like, at what point is there a point where you're like, you know what? Don't talk to me. Get away from me. I don't want to look at you. Give me like 5 minutes alone. Or is it just fun the whole time? What's the behind the scenes stuff that you guys edit out that none of us see?
The only thing that I think is, can you guys still hear me? It cut out.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I can hear you.
I would say the only thing that like sometimes it is all fun. And like, we also, one thing too, is like, we break it up like quite a bit really throughout the season. It's not like we're all together at all times. Like there'll be a lot of times where one or two or three of us go one direction, somebody else goes another direction, somebody goes home to hunt, somebody goes home, you know, to hunt with friends or family or I mean, we're kind of all over the place as far as that goes. The only thing I would say is sometimes we get ourselves pretty stressed out about, you know, what we're gonna film or what we're gonna edit, how we're gonna get it together, how fast we need to get it done, and that's I would say that's the only thing really behind the scenes that kind of gets to a point where it's like you kind of get sick of it. And that's what will be a burnout, I would say, a potential burnout, like just trying to get those videos done is like, and the demand truly would be that we do more and faster, like turnaround. But it's like, it's so hard to go hunting and edit and try to get maximize your time. Like that can get stressful, especially when you really, really want to go. Like for example, if you haven't been killing anything and you're close a whole bunch, then it's up where it's like, we got to make a video, and it's like, we just need one more day, and you're like that addict, you know, that just can't get enough, and that for me starts to take over a little bit, where sometimes I'm like, damn it, I don't want to sit today out and edit, especially in the heat of the season, you know, when you're at,
yeah,
you know, so that. That's can be hard, I would say. But
so,
otherwise, when you're hunting, it's all fun. I mean, dude, we're all real goofy and mess around all the time, as you can tell. So it's like, it is that 99% of the time. Just when you have to, like, when you have to give it up to go edit, is kind of a bummer.
you guys do such a great job at turning that stuff around. I mean, it seems like there's constantly videos coming up and that kind of stuff. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, how do you handle that grind? Like, is it a ton of caffeine? Is it things we can't talk about? Is it like, I did 3 or 4 days on that turkey hunt up at Killdeer Plains, and like, especially with the turkeys, like this was basically the first time I've really been out like that. You're up really early, and because the sun is up later, it's not like deer season where it's like the shortest part of the year. Those are long days, man, and it starts getting warm, and I mean, all the walking, and I'm not trying to, you know, bitch and complain, but like, you know what I'm saying? It can wear on. Oh, yeah. And you guys are doing that for like 3 months.
How do you do it? I mean, honestly, it's just, you gotta love it at a super, like, super weird level, you know, like, yeah. You gotta just love it so much, because it really, and I think in some weird way, we all are addicts of it. Like, we all wake up tomorrow ready to hunt, like, more than anything. I guarantee if you asked any of those guys right now, what would you want to do tomorrow? Well, if I could choose, I'd go hunting, you know? And that means filming or hunting, either one. Like, that's the beauty of it too, is like, you know, you start going with somebody, you start story and you're even just in your own memory bank, right? It's like, last year I hunted like 2 weeks straight with Jake and filmed him in Iowa, and it's just like, the very last thing I was gonna do was leave him, you know? At that point, it's like, we're committed to doing this, and like, we're, you know, you kind of get that little team, and that's super fun about the season. And I think you just kind of get, and you build energy off your buddies, I mean, honestly, yeah, caffeine, like the couple, like, I would, is like, wake up early, like, and this is kind of goes for deer and turkey, but obviously those days get real shrunk for turkey. Wake up, drink coffee, get super fired up, generally just kind of snack a little bit until it gets time. Usually eat a little bit bigger of a lunch. If you got time in the afternoon, you're always going to try to take some sort of little snooze if you can, because that really helps you out. I mean, even like in turkey season, like, one of my favorite things to do is just get up on like a knob where you can hear a lot, just fall asleep, just plan on it. Like, if a turkey gobbles as somebody's kind of rolling around, it's like, oh, hey, let's go hunting. But, you know, a lot of times you kind of take a breather middle of the day in some fashion, and then, you know, just get up and, or, you know, go hunting for the afternoon, evening, or go roost something if you can't hunt till the afternoon. You know, if you're in turkey season, you can always tell noon, which, like, Ohio, part of the season's that way, and like, Illinois was that way. A ton of places we hunted that this year were that way. So if that's the case, then you just try to take a nap and get ahead of like some work stuff, whatever. And then I guess at night, that's where you know, everybody's a little bit of personality kind of takes over, and it's kind of hard to, like, it's hard for me to shut the hell up and just go to sleep, because I just want to keep talking about it. And like, I'm always so excited about tomorrow that it's like, I just want to talk about it, and I just want it to be here. So it's hard for me to go to sleep. But you get to that point where, like, everybody finally is like, all right, we're going to sleep. And as soon as you hit the hay, man, it's lights out. Alarm goes off, and it's hard, but you get up, you get the coffee in, and then you're going again. And it just, I mean, honestly, it's the love of the game, you know. It's really that, because if you didn't love it and you didn't just like have that, it's like you're dying to know what could happen. I gotta get up, I gotta go, and you can't miss a day, and you get it in your head too. It's like, and I think this is a good way to go about it. It's like, if I miss today, I'm not guaranteed tomorrow, you know, and that goes for every single time. And it just, that's what I mean by, I think you just got to love it at a certain level. That's, it's kind of getting weird, you know?
Do you guys take a day off throughout the week here and there?
Not throughout a week generally, but a lot of times what we're doing now is going on a hunt and then, like go for about a week or so. And then, yeah, I mean, and it's relative. Deer and turkey are a little bit different, and success kind of dictates, you know, how this goes. But it's like, you know, maybe hunt for roughly 7 days. Let's just say you get enough for a couple videos, you take 3 or 4 days off, 5 days off, week off, whatever. Sometimes you go home. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you just go to the library, you know, and just sit there and grind out work. Sometimes it'll be day four and you're only hunting till 9 a.m. You're going to the library middle of the day, and then you're going back out to like glass or roost turkeys or whatever in the evening. You know, sometimes it's like a middle of the day type of deal where it's like, okay, we've already got a bunch of good content. Let's start editing this stuff, getting ahead, but still squeeze a little bit of hunting in where you're kind of hunting at the front end of the day and the tail end of the day, but it's still just a nonstop. It's always a nonstop, like from daylight till dark, like going. And then you got to figure out how you're going to eat in there, which is also honestly the hardest part, I would say, is just trying to find time to eat. And it's really nice when Mindy like makes a bunch of food prior to a trip and sends it with us, because it just, you know, you don't have any time invested in it. Like you just pull something out of the cooler. She makes these burritos that are like basically just like something that you can pop out and you can eat right now. I mean, you eat stuff cold. You're not living in luxury out there necessarily. Right. It's just like trying to keep it going, just trying to stay alive. And then eventually you get to a point too where like everybody goes home at some point, right? So like, for example, I hunted in Mississippi I probably left here on like the 13th of March, let's say, and hunted in Mississippi until the end of the month. And then I flew home. I drove closer to Illinois, which is where we were hunting next. I drove to St. Louis, flew to Colorado, and then was there for like the weekend, basically like three and a half days, flew back to St. Louis, and then drove to Illinois, jumped in with the guys and back in hunting. Then we went to North Carolina for like a while, did kind of the same thing, flew home for Easter weekend, real quick, 2 days. Flew back, went to West Virginia, and then I hunted West Virginia and Ohio for a while, and then drove back home to here, and then we went hunting. Took about a week to edit and kind of catch up on some stuff here, and then we hunted Colorado for a while, and then we hunted Wisconsin, flew to Wisconsin for the last trip of the season.
How do you keep track of all your licenses and all that kind of stuff?
When I'm turkey hunting, I just have them all in the same pocket right here. Like, I got a Ziploc bag, I got a pen, got zip ties, rubber bands, stuff so I can like tie stuff. And I've just got like a system right there where I got everything. And then, you know, deer and everything is a little bit more simple. But turkey, yeah, you got to just, I'm just constantly reading regulations, you know, like obsessively reading regulations and like stressing ourselves out, like, you know, we have everything right, are we good, you know, and like, which we totally should be, you know, it's the way to do it, but it's yeah, it's a lot of making sure you know what's going on out there
for sure,
because we're not always, I mean, we're bouncing state to state, there's so many weird little, I mean, and there's not, it's not terribly hard, but you know, every state's a little different, so you gotta make sure you know what to do. That'd be my biggest tip if anybody's traveling, like make sure you're not doing something you're not supposed to, because there's weird little hidden stuff as you travel around and hunt different public lands, you know, or sometimes if you're not thorough with reading everything, you could easily miss something, you know.
Absolutely. Well, I've got like two more questions, and Paul, if you've got anything else, but Zach, one is, what is your all-time most favorite hunt? And the other one would be, if there's some hunt you haven't been on yet, what would that one be?
Well, I would say as far as favorite hunt, I'll use a few because I'm not going to pick one. And this is not even, honestly, if I sat and thought about it too long, it would be, I would be all of them. But one that comes to mind, this past September, we elk hunted, and it was me, Jake, Ben, Colin, and Roy. And we were in the backcountry for like 7 days, 6 days, I think it was. And just that group of dudes and being so far back in there. I mean, I'd been looking at this area on the map for a while and decided, you know, to go in there and do it. And, you know, just took a complete risk, went in there blind, and it just was everything that I ever dreamed it to be. And, I shoot a 6x6 bull. We ended up packing the bull out just stupid far, like so far. And, just that whole group aspect of it. Our muzzleloader hunting, man, what we've been doing the last few years is as a group, where we do drives together. That's super fun to me because, again, it's that team aspect. And one thing I didn't mention that I kind of wanted to mention earlier is I was big into sports when I was a kid, like loved playing sports. And I think when I found like mobile hunting, like ground mobile hunting and just elk hunting and stalking pronghorn and turkey hunting all the time, it's like I kind of started to get more of my fix of like sport when I was doing that versus just sitting around. I felt like a bum when I was sitting waiting for deer. I didn't feel like I was being active and felt like it kind of fixed, you know, replaced sports a little bit, especially when you've got this team involved where you can turkey hunt as a team, you can elk hunt as a team, you can deer hunt as a team, you know, you can be spotting and stalking deer and have a spotter and, you know, a guy, you know, people filming it. You're always deer hunting too as a pair with what we do. So it's like you're always with your teammate. And it's just super fun to me to have that. So anytime where I've got that going, that's the most fun, I would say.
What sports did you play?
Baseball and football.
Okay, yeah. Out there in Western Ohio, you know, I know football's king. I hear about it all the time how great the Mac is at Thanksgiving every year. So
football is my favorite sport, and I still dream about it. You know, it's just one of those weird things that, you know, you can't really do it after you're done with it. You know what I mean? You can't go back and do more. And I seriously love it, man. There's been only one other thing that I've in my life that I've enjoyed doing as much as hunting, and it was football. Like from the time I started in the seventh grade till I graduated high school, I was so obsessed with football. But definitely more football, I would say. Right. So like, here's a great example of what I mean by the sports thing. Here's a picture of our group. It's pretty sweet.
That's great.
That's what it's about, man.
Yeah, this is the elk.
That's awesome.
That's a great picture.
It really is.
You can see the mountain in the background.
Yeah, that's unreal.
So it's so much fun just being with your friends. So, you know, as far as all-time favorite hunts go, like that definitely just when you're surrounded with people, that makes it so much more fun. You can celebrate and there's so much excitement involved with it.
That's awesome.
It's awesome. Pretty broad answer.
What, what hunt have you not done that you'd want to do?
Honestly, just a lot of Western stuff in general. I just want to continue to experience different areas hunting elk. I am a Colorado resident now, so I've already built quite a resume of different areas of Colorado. I've hunted a lot of places in Colorado for elk already, so that's super exciting. And I want to continue to chip away at other states with that. And then I'd love to do some more mule deer hunting here and there. But, you know, just anything, honestly, at the end of the day, man, I'll sit there. like actually one of the things that I've been dealing with right today specifically is I'm feeling overwhelmed with how many things I want to do, you know, this deer season. Cause it's like, I want to go to all these places. I mean, from seriously Alabama, Mississippi to the Northeast to, you know, out West, it's like, I want to hunt so many different places and things. So anything I haven't done yet, that's kind of what I want to do.
the old priority list that as you get older, it's more and more important, you know?
Yeah.
So my kids sit here and they complain about, you know, what they're going to do during summer break. I'm like, look, you got everything. Just, you want to see my list of things to do? We can fight over that. So, well, I don't have anything. I mean, we could talk for hours, but we appreciate
it.
I've just got
two things one, I want to commend you and the THP crew. You guys have really, you know, kind of transformed this industry. And the one thing that I really like, I work for one of the wildlife conservation organizations here in the country, and you guys have really started to focus on and talk about conservation in this country and the need to do more than just buying a tag and a license and that's it. And those days are dead. I've said that 100 times in this show. I'll say it again. Like, we all need to do more, and whether that's actually, you know, boots on the ground type of stuff or donating to different conservation organizations. And you guys have really, you've done some work with the NWTF, TFT. I don't know if you're, you know, what else you guys have got going on, but I just want to say thank you for that. I mean, that's something that, we're just a couple schmucks in Ohio, man. Like, you know, our platform is not as big as yours, and it will never be that big. But the people like you and the Drurys, you know, you guys need to be the champions of that. And you guys have taken an important step in doing that the last 12 months. So, I mean, good for you guys, man. Keep just hammer down on that point. So, yeah, hammer down.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, if we can't keep doing it, then like, what's the point? The most important thing is continue to do it. I mean, that's, you know, really, I guess I failed to mention early in the conversation, I missed my opportunity to say this. Like, THP was also started with this idea that care about wildlife and care about protecting areas to go, the better chance that we have to stand up against anti-hunting and, you know, basically, you know, our thought was to just kind of get people kind of fired up about going in the first place. And then that will ultimately lead to, you know, protecting the resource, I suppose. And I just think that at the end of the day, like that is the most important thing. It's like, have fun and make sure that you're like doing the right things to make it better for the future. You know, because if not,
sure,
then, you know, we're not making any more land, and they're building a hell of a lot more houses everywhere I go. So,
yeah, absolutely. So the last question. This is always, I've always wondered this. As you guys became more and more popular, your run-ins with people that watch the show, like, is that all the time? Like, are you guys always running into people in the woods, or like these part, or like people getting, you know, they pull up in their truck next to you and you guys are like, oh shit, we got to go, like, start running. Because these guys are gonna be like, hey man, can I get a selfie, and just bothering you at 4 a.m.
Yeah, I mean, so I love talking to people. I really do. You can ask anybody in our group. It's like, somebody rolls up and is watching video, I'm going to just end up probably just sitting there chattering if you come up, you know, unless we got something real pressing that we're going to do. But yeah, I mean, it's fun to meet people on public land. It's pretty funny to be, you know, just random places like the airport or something, and you bump into somebody where there's like all these people, and all of a sudden, like, love the videos. I really think it's cool, and I appreciate it. It's a lot of fun. There are certain times where, yeah, I try to keep my head down a little bit, you know, pull my hair back, kind of hide a little bit, because maybe we get off the walk or we hear a turkey gobbling or something. But yeah. I mean, it's not, I don't mean any harm by it ever if we're doing that. It's just like, try to get going. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I talk to people all the time and really enjoy that. It's one of the most fun parts about it. I really love going to different events and stuff and just meeting people, you know, because everybody's got cool stories, everybody's got cool experiences. You meet so many cool people being out on public land, meet people that are doing stuff, like finding different ways of going about doing stuff similar to what we do. You know, that's kind of the most interesting thing I would say, is like you bump into people that are like, yeah, man, I guide fishing in the winter and the summer, so I can deer and turkey hunt all season. Or, you know, I quit my job before deer season every year and just deer hunt all season. Guys do the same for turkey. To me, that's really cool. That there's other people out there doing it. Like, I found my way of doing it, but I'm not the only one that loves it that much. There's a ton of other people. You know, people oftentimes try to make hunting competitive, you know, like they want to say like, oh, you know, you got these many bucks, or you know, this many big bucks, or shot them in this many places, or whatever it is, and public land versus private land. And it's just, I guess to me, in all of THP, I think I feel confident saying this, it's just like, there's no way to measure hunting. Everybody's situation's different. Like I've shot bucks the last few years, right? But I get a ton of time to hunt, and I've failed so miserably so many times, and like that like it's there's no way to be competitive about it. Just go have fun, try to learn new stuff, and just, you know, do what makes it fun to you. That's what again, when I talk about hunting on the ground, that's what made it fun for me. You know, am I gonna miss some opportunities that I would maybe get if I didn't exclusively hunt on the ground? Like, probably, but you know, is it going to be as fun? Well, it's not about killing the biggest buck, because I don't honestly don't really care what anybody else. I mean, I care. I support wanting people to do good and have fun, but it's like, I'm not trying to measure my buck up against somebody else's. If I start doing that, I'm probably not going to have any fun.
Yeah, for sure. Zach, I appreciate you, man, and all the work that you've done. All your friends, the work that the THP guys have done. Keep doing you, man. Stay humble. Stay the course. You guys are doing great. So thank you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.